Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading and sharing this episode with a friend. This week, we start an all-new adventure. And I think I'm fairly safe to say that none of us have played this game before. It is Urban Shadows.
Urban Shadows, yes.
Ryan, you are running this game.
Yes.
What the heck is Urban Shadows?
Urban Shadows is a game that utilizes the Powered by the Apocalypse system. This is an urban fantasy political intrigue game, which basically means it's urban fantasy, which means you got supernatural creatures living in a modern day world, your werewolves, vampires, wizards, fairies, all those guys running around, and political intrigue. It is predominantly focusing on their interactions with each other and within the community and across their various communities, and basically the shenanigans that they come across.
But you've been wanting to play this for a while.
I've definitely been wanting to play some sort of a Powered by the Apocalypse system. I basically had looked through several of them, trying to decide which ones I would really want to try to do. Largely because I had both Sam and Rodrigo as players, I did ultimately settle on this one because I thought it'd be really in their wheelhouse. Them being LARPers back in the day of vampire games. And so I'm hoping that they will make this an interesting experience as we navigate this new game.
Well, you and I, you've been thinking about this at least around since about January of 2017, because at the time when Sam's game started, I was driving you home and we were, you know, kicking some ideas back and forth.
Yeah.
And this kind of struck, I guess, yeah. As far as wanting to do something completely different.
Yes, that was really kind of the thing. I mean, this is something that is quite a bit different. I looked through other Powered by the Apocalypse games, and a lot of them seem very interesting, but I had concerns, like, a lot of them are very, like, action-focused, but combat can be fairly brutal.
Oh, really?
And so I was a little concerned that people would, you know, try to run in swinging and get terribly hurt, like right off the bat, and would.
You know, you can say my name.
I'm right. You're not necessarily one I was going to be concerned about, but yes.
Oh, look, there's Rob and Matthew and Rodrigo and
like
Sam are all
running
here.
Running in swinging,
so
when
you know,
they shouldn't be.
Yeah, like
Brian?
So if we were playing like Spirit of 77,
right?
Yeah, I would be afraid that, you know, people would catch one bad bullet and
that's all it takes to ruin your day,
yeah.
Right? You also avoided Monster of the Week.
Monster of the Week I was really leaning towards, but again, it's a very high-focused action game, and also I kind of bulked at trying to come up with like a different monster mystery every session. So with this,
do Scooby-Doo.
They're all
do the episodes in order and see.
Well, with Monster of the Week, one of the playbooks is meddling kids, which that
nice.
Is their ability that they can rip the mask off the monster and have it be.
That's great. Yep.
That was 100% going to be mine.
Old man Jenkins, and I'll be the talking dog.
I feel like not necessarily having to come up with a new creature every week, but new scheme or schemes that entangle around each other. For whatever reason, I just found that a little bit easier to plan.
I'm concerned about this game.
Are you?
Because it's got this thing, a tale of supernatural drama, which I can understand, that's role play.
Mm-hmm.
But then political intrigue set in a modern day city.
Yes.
Now, in order to prepare for this, I'd like to kind of figure out how the game is supposed to work. And I've listened to a couple of different podcasts. And in one of them, they literally were going through like city planning, city commission type meetings, laws and bylaws, creations and type stuff. And I was just like, oh, I don't know if this is what I want to play, if that's what this game is.
No, I mean, that's definitely not the route I've been taking in my proposed story arcs that I've been working on.
Well, there goes concept as the Minister of Weights and Measures. Thanks. Yes.
I can see how you'd get there having played some Vampire LARP, though, because yeah. I definitely did at one point write up like an incredibly detailed plan for how I was going to get the contract to install the city's red light cameras so that I could spy on people. So, you know, that's yeah. that's the sort of things that becomes relevant when you get a lot of scheming.
But that might happen here, right?
When I was running a Vampire LARP, I had petitions from multiple player characters to do contract work in the sewers.
Mm.
Nice. Well,
wow, okay.
Well, that seems understandable, but largely that stuff, if we end up getting into real-world politics and bureaucracy, that's going to get hand-waved for the most part. It's okay.
They weren't actual written-out petitions, right? It's just like, yes. Here's my character's petition, and like written in a piece of paper is like, these are the traits that I'm using.
It's going to be more about
to actually back this up, right?
Yeah, who you have the debt with, or how can you manage to get a hold of a debt to make this thing happen?
And these are the stats that I'm leveraging. To do this.
It seems pretty self-explanatory, but debts are just favors owed and favors gained.
Yes.
And that's how you pressure other PCs to do what you want,
or
NPCs to do what you want to get what you want.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does this game work? I mean, is there a story? Is this vignettes? Is this, I mean, it seems like a lot of it is more all role play with a few dice to see if like your diplomacy works kind of stuff, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to go in and punch this monster.
I mean, there's the options for both, but I mean, there is definitely the social focus within this particular framework.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generally the way that they present and suggest running a game is to come up with several story arcs where basically the GM's only supposed to plan what happens without the PC involvement.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically their job to kind of get the player's interest and get them tied into this. And because like one of the principles that are in many Powered by the Apocalypse games is create problems, but not solutions.
Ah, okay.
So like in a kind of Dungeons and Dragons analogy, you might like write up in a scenario about having this magically locked door. And in your typical D&D campaign, you know, there's going to be a specific solution. Like, there's a specific runestone you have to go get in another chamber to open this door. And something like Dungeon World, which is the Dungeons & Dragons-themed Apocalypse World game, it's supposed to be left a lot more open-ended, where the players can try whatever, and depending on the dice rolls and...
I check the door to see if it's unlocked.
Well... Something like that, but
not quite that simple.
Well, try it, so whatever, and anything.
Based on this description, it kind of sounds like an extended version of the skills challenges we do.
Pretty much, yeah. It's that's a pretty good analogy. It's just kind of a broader skills challenge.
But we're not all aiming at the same in the same direction necessarily.
And there's also that. Basically, the players are a lot more looser-knit group than in most games. They got their own agencies and agendas they're following. They may not necessarily all be in the same scene at the same time, but...
Well, because we are in a city, and so the city... the way that I understand the way the game is, or the, and you can use any city. In fact, it encourages you to go and find cities that you want to set this in and break it down. But you have like mortals, people who are just normal people who are living alongside, you know, creatures of the dark. So we got vampires and werewolves and fae creatures, and different parts of the cities may incorporate where these creatures live, or they all interact. And so I kind of dig that part of it, but I was really concerned about, are we really going to get into politics of of the real world?
Well, not so much real world politics, or at least not real world bureaucracy. We don't have to worry about districts and forms and gerrymandering and whatever. And but yeah, as for the city, I have decided to set it here in Hayes.
Oh, so everybody can go to the Hayes, Kansas Wikipedia page and look it up. In fact, if
yeah, I'm going to need some help from you guys.
I will get
you. I think I'm going to play a newcomer, if that's okay, so that I don't have to. Cool.
In fact, that's one of the questions. Here. In fact, one of the questions when you're creating your character is, how long have you lived in this city?
Yes.
Or as they say it in Hayes, you ain't from around here, are you, boy?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So
I have never been to Kansas.
Okay, so wait.
To fix that.
Where have you been?
Everywhere but like, Kansas. I've been to Colorado and Nebraska and Oklahoma, Missouri.
Have you been in a field?
Yes.
Have you been in a field that's really muddy and also hellishly dry and stupid at the same time?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, if you had, you'd have been to Kansas.
Yes.
So it's
that is accurate.
It seems like it's relatively simple to play this game.
Yes.
You only need 2 6-sided dice. Mm-hmm. That's all you need for this.
Yes.
You need your paper and your pencil. And of course, we've got all of the, what are they called?
Playbooks
for each of the different characters that we're going to play. So there's 10 core archetypes. And then there was an expansion that I think included like 4 or 6 others. I don't remember. I think it was 4 more. Yeah. And then, that's it. Your own imagination and somebody who, who knows how to run the game. Now, it does say in the book that it's probably a good idea to have photographs of people, maps of the city, etc., so people can move around and know where they're going. But when you go look at the 3-paragraph Wikipedia entry for Hayes, Kansas, you'll realize very quickly that you're not going to miss too much if you say, hey, I'm going to go from 1st Street to 2nd Street.
Yes.
It's pretty simple.
There's only like 600 people, and they're all named Ponens. So.
Question. Has anyone played – now, this is the first time we're all playing Urban of the Urban Shadows, but has anyone played Powered by the Apocalypse games before?
No, because Brian has never run one before.
Oh, okay. And I didn't know.
I almost did.
Really? What happened?
Brian didn't run it?
No, a scheduling conflict.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been to an event where Monster Hearts was being played, but I did not play it.
Which one's Monster Hearts?
It's the
Powered by the Apocalypse.
Yes, it is a Powered by the Apocalypse game, yet another urban fantasy one. That one's largely more focused on the romance.
Supernatural romance.
So basically your Twilight game.
I'll play that.
Yeah, Twilight/Teen Wolf.
Why are we playing that?
Because.
Well, this game does encourage you to build those kind of relationships. So as you're building your character, you are asked whether, you know, relationships that you have with other people are physical/emotional or political/business type connections. So
yes. Mine are all physical/emotional.
Can't it be both?
Yeah, never all mix work with pleasure. So what do you want to, where do we want to go, Brian, as we're setting up? Because some of us have created characters. Other people are in the process of creating characters.
Some people haven't decided what they're doing yet.
Yeah, some people haven't done that yet, but we're not going to point to anybody on that.
Most of us are in other rooms.
No, Rob's got his character right here. In fact, he showed up and was like, oh, can you print out these pages for me? So he knows what his thing is. But, yes. I mean, I'm going to just turn it over to you, and you tell me where you want to go next, and we'll answer questions and do stuff.
Yeah, I think we should just kind of start rolling through character creation here. The first step is choosing which playbook you want to do. Rodrigo, he had chosen the Tainted there.
Correct.
And so basically that means he is a guy but has something of debt to a dark demonic patron.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, basically when you're looking through, for the most part, when creating the character, you just want to start on the second page of the particular playbook.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you several options if you have any trouble coming up with a name or look or demeanor that you can choose from a list. But the first mechanical choice is just the stats. In this game, there are four different stats. There's blood, there's heart, there's mind, and there's spirit. And for the most part, I'm just going to refer directly from the book here. The blood is the measure of your fight or flight instinct, and it tells us how tough, dangerous, coiled, and quick to act your character is in a dangerous situation. The heart is the sum of your passion, your charm, and your charisma. It tells us how proficient your character is at getting what they want through negotiations and discussion. Mind is a reflection of your critical thinking, trickery, and observational skills. It tells us how to perceive your character, how perceptive your character can be, and how good they are at manipulating others with deceit. And spirit gauges your connection with the other and your force of will. It tells us how focused and determined your character is under pressure and what kind of connection they have to the supernatural. So, Rodrigo, having chosen the Tainted, it gives every class a starting array. So for him,
I get blood 1, heart 1, mind minus 1, and spirit 0, and I get to add 1 to one of them.
Yeah, and so which one did you choose to increase?
I'm gonna add it to mind, so I'm gonna end up at blood 1, heart 1, mind 0, and spirit 0.
Okay, so you're not the least mindful tainted around,
right?
And so yeah, that's basically his stats. Anytime we roll in this game, he's rolling 2d6 plus one of those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a faction, which we will cover here next. And every roll in this game targets static values.
Right. So here's the interesting thing about this is, so mm-hmm. we're rolling two dice plus yes. adding or subtracting the stats stuff. And so if you're rolling between a 7 and a 9, it's considered a hit, but kind of, right?
Yes.
And then if you're a 10 plus, it's always a success.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is there's, according to the manual, there's no such thing as a quote unquote failure.
Yeah.
It's just you may not get exactly what you want. So, for example, there's in the book, it's talking about how this one guy has to go off and meet somebody, but he bumps into like his boss, and the boss is like, "Well, why aren't you doing this work?" And the person is like, tries to make up a lie, and so he uses, I forget what deception or something that he's trying to use on this. He fails, and the person, his boss, believes him, but he's like, "Oh, I love that too. I'll go with you."
Yes.
And it's like, okay, now that's created another complication of, I've told a lie. This person's going to go with me expecting this. How do I still get away from this person?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like the succeed with threat in Star Wars.
Yeah, pretty much. If you roll 6 or less, I mean, it could potentially be, you know, an actual failure, but it can't be just you fail. There has to be some added twist or complication that this adds to the story. Basically, it is designed to not let the story just grind to a halt just because a roll was missed.
Yeah.
7 through 9, you get what you want, but at some cost. And a 10 plus means that you generally achieve what you are trying for. And that's basically what those stats determine. There's very specific basic moves that they all tie into in addition to your playbook moves. You also have to mark out how determined you are, or how tied in you are to the various factions within the setting. There are 4 of those as well. There's mortality, which basically is your normal mundane humans without any particular power or abilities. There's knight, which is your more standard scary Blech. Vampire, werewolves, things Blech. That... you know, are out during the night more than anything, your ghosts. Power is mostly humans, but with some potency and capability, your wizards, your immortals.
No immortals yet.
Well, there's not an immortal playbook officially.
Rob is very sad about this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because that's another faction that's coming out. Or another
one of the playbooks that's coming out.
And the wild are things that are a little bit more weird. they are mostly things from other worlds. Your fae and your demons are the most common ones. Dragons, just
which
basically
also isn't out yet.
Nope.
So, Rodrigo, what did you have for your starting factions?
So my starting factions are start at mortality 1, knight minus 1, power 0, and wild 1, and I get to add 1 to one of them. So I'm going to add 1 to mortality. So I'm going to start at mortality 2, knight minus 1, power 0, and wild 1.
And
which faction is the tainted related to?
Wild.
Because demons.
And so one way you can tell is whatever your highest stat is in your starting faction, that's which one it belongs to.
Well, I've got 1-1, neg 1-0.
For the vamp, is obviously the knight.
Yeah.
It's weird. The best way that I can see it is that the tainted and the fae are wild because the wild are like the fringe monsters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the ones that are like weird outsider monsters as opposed to like vampires and werewolves, which are supposed to like live within humanity or whatever. Yeah,
that's very much it. The wild are
hang out and smoke cigarettes.
Basically things from other worlds more literally than anything that,
And so is there a way, and I'm sure we'll get to this in a moment, but man, one of my stats is at was at a minus 2 until I added 1 to it. There's a way to improve some of that stuff, right?
Yes. As we play through, basically, if you notice on your factions box, they have the little check mark there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, whenever you have a dealing with a member of that faction, you get to mark that.
Oh, okay.
Once all four are marked, you earn an advance.
Ah, neat.
So if you look just below that factions on your playbook, there's several advance options. The left column is the ones that you can take before you hit 5 of them. And a lot of those are plus 1 to heart, plus 1 to spirit.
So if I
go hang out with Rodrigo, would I get like get to mark my wild faction?
If you do some sort of dealing with him, yes. Like if you actually spend a debt on that you had on him, that would definitely mark it there.
So how do you get advances?
But basically, when you mark all four.
I know, but so after I mark all four, do I wipe that out and start all over again?
You erase
them. So every time I do that, I'll get an advance, and I can pick from this list, and everybody's list is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I can mark one of those, and that may add to a stat. It may give me a new move, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's another column that says after 5 advances, you may select a whole other column of stuff.
Yes.
I can't save up my advances, can I? Can I save up like 5 advances and then jump right up to the
You have to have selected 5 advances.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I'm asking. Can I save them up and then use them, or do I have to spend them right away?
Well, they're
spend them right away.
They're all 1-for-1, it wouldn't do you any good to save them up.
Okay.
You still have to have selected 5 advances before you can get...
You have to have 5 marked off on the left before you can start marking any off on the right.
Cool.
Okay. I do have a question on some of those. So all the stat bumps that I'm showing, it's a max of plus 3. Mm-hmm. Is that you can only ever have plus 3 total in that stat?
Yes.
Okay. So if I start with my blood at 2, I can pick that and get plus 3, and that's the highest I'll go?
Yes.
Okay.
So some characters can max out their stats as a starting character and therefore invalidate options. However, there are scars.
Ooh, what are scars?
Which basically, if you're about to take a bad hit, you can choose to take a scar instead.
Oh.
Which means you permanently mark a stat minus 1.
Boo. Ooh. And so if you have 4 scars, are you dead?
No. Basically, you just don't have the option to take any more scars.
Okay. So,
yeah, I mean, that's basically one way you can negate potential damage to you. Instead of having to take the harm, you just take the scar instead and take the minus 1 to that
stat. Okay, then that makes a lot of sense, because I was trying to figure out the advances. I'm like, well, this doesn't make a lot of sense because it says available at the beginning of play. Does that mean I get a select from some of these right away or not? Because that would not make sense. But now that you say that we have to fill out our factions boxes, that gives us an advance, then that's really cool.
Yep. Once you get all 4 marked, then you clear it out and gain 1 advance. And it can pretty much just be done immediately. And Rodrigo did choose to put 1 into mortality. I think we'll probably hold off on the intro. So, Steven,
Yep.
You got your scholar. Did you get
I went
your...
with scholar, yes.
Basically get your stats?
Yes. So so my starting character stats were blood minus two, heart one, mind two, spirit zero. And based on how I was going with my character, I went and added the one to my blood. So I've got minus one blood, one heart, two mind, and zero spirit. And then for my faction, since I'm mortality, I was already at a two. The knight was minus one, power one, wild minus one. And again, because of how I'm flavoring my character, I added to the knight. So now I'm at two mortality, zero knight, one power, and minus one wild. Yes, Sam?
Oh, sorry. My audio cut out for a second.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's where I'm sitting with my stats and my factions. So
yes. You've had some dealing with some creatures that
yes
weren't exactly human.
Yes, just based on my character. And I even sent you a little character description.
Yes.
So
yes, you did. And we'll go over those in a bit here. Sam, you've chosen to go with the wizard?
Correct.
And so did you get your stats picked out there?
I have them in my head, but not on paper. I have. I can tell you some of them if that helps.
Okay. Do you know what you're popping your plus one into?
For my abilities or for my starting factions?
For both, actually. Your character stats, the wizard starts out with a blood minus one, heart zero,
yeah,
mind one, and spirit one.
So I was thinking of probably, it looks like a lot of my things, well, let me
moves.
Take a look. Yeah, my moves, there we go, involve psychic energy and using my spirit and stuff. So I was thinking of probably focusing on that and putting my extra plus one into the spirit.
That is extremely reasonable. Yes, as a wizard, spirit is basically the magic stat more than anything. So getting the bump there is not a bad idea. As a wizard, your starting factions are mortality one, knight minus one, power one, and wild zero.
I was thinking of upping that wild from zero to one because I thought it would be particularly cool for me to have had some dealings with things from outside this world.
Fair enough. Sounds good. And Rob, you've chosen to go with the vamp?
Yep.
Nice.
Bleh.
So this is your turn.
What? So you, it is your turn to play a vampire, apparently.
Yeah, that's fair. When we were looking at these, I was like, well, I can't play the vamp. I just finished playing a vampire. So,
so you start out with a blood one, heart one, mind zero, and spirit minus one.
I went ahead and put in another one to blood.
So physically focused character.
Yeah, and a few of my moves change it so I can use blood instead of whatever the other stat is.
Thematically appropriate.
Yeah.
And
then for my starting factions, starts out with mortality one, knight one, power minus one, and wild of zero. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and bumped up my mortality to two.
Fair enough.
You deal with humans a lot more. Manipulate.
Yeah, well, there you go. And Matthew.
Hello.
Have you settled on which playbook you're interested in running?
And if the answer is yes, I have to probably have one. So no, I have not. What are my options again? I could be a thing or a thing.
Yes, there is the aware.
Can you be the thing?
No.
So who are the aware?
The aware are basically normal humans who have some knowledge of the supernatural world without particularly having any powers in and of themselves. Basically, they're all about almost being conspiracy theorists. Just being able to sneak around and knowing
mortal?
People. Mortal. The Fae, that is basically your fairy-type, changeling-esque creature. Basically they're all about making deals and pledges and basically locking in, trying to get people to make those deals
make those deals. Yeah.
Never seen or heard from again.
Those kind.
Yeah.
Yes, more or less.
That seems sad.
That seems appropriate.
There is the Hallowed, which is about being blessed from a higher power for a higher purpose. Main thing that they have is that they do have a flock of their own, people that they watch and care for.
Seagulls? Or?
No, people. They are basically
sheep.
A religious leader type. And yeah, they are a member of Mortality and... Oh, no, actually, I think they're powered.
I'm wrong.
They are
the powered. Oracles? They're power.
They are powered. The Hallowed.
Oh, the Hallowed. Okay. They're not on my... So there's a couple of different things to be aware is that there are two different books and a couple, a move or a, what are these called? The
playbooks?
Playbooks that are available. And so I'm reading through the Urban Shadows single spread PDF that I got from DriveThruRPG, and it doesn't list some of those that you've already mentioned.
No,
then there is the Dark Streets expansion, which is where my scholar character comes from.
Yes.
And then if you're, and then depending on which, book that you're using, you have to sort around to find some of them because like the, what is it? Not the Vagrant, the, what's the new one that just came out, just recently for this?
Well,
let me look.
They'd all be in the Dark Streets. The Vessel was the one I didn't get in the packets I sent you.
Okay. Cause I've got the Vessel.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole different playbook by itself. So,
yeah.
So it is a little confusing when we're running through these. There's a lot of places to look for them. They haven't combined everything into a single document yet.
Because it's expansion books.
Yeah.
There is the Hunter, which is a mortal monster hunter. Basically fighting that which bumps into night. You want to be a more fighty type. Basically, your slayers or your supernatural characters or what have you.
I haven't been fighty for a minute. I was fighty, and then I wasn't fighty, and then I was, and then I wasn't. What if I wanted to have wings?
You could be a ghost. There's the specter.
They haven't really released an angel playbook.
I did already eat one of the character options that could have wings.
That's true.
Ha!
You bastard.
And as soon as you lose, I jumped on this like as soon as Brian sent it. I was like, yes. I call this one.
And I think he was going through the faction as soon as he said scholar. I was like, oh, that's me.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So I was stubbornly waiting for something that they hadn't released yet.
Mm-hmm. There is an Oracle, which is a power faction member who is basically your prophet of doom. You get a lot of... the future sight powers and
doom.
Some fun options there. There is the Spectre, which if you want to play a ghost dead person and do a lot of sneaking around,
can I have a muscle car?
Not specifically. Well,
has that been, that's been done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably
be
not
the blue light lady.
Maybe. There you go. Blue light lady.
Yes. Elizabeth Folly.
Not so much with the blue light lady.
There's the Revenant if you want to be more of a spirit of vengeance from the dead. Not at all based on the Crow.
Yeah, not even remotely.
Not even a little bit?
Not at all.
I could totally not be the Crow, you guys.
And getting to a lot of them. The Veteran, which is basically a mortal who's been around the block for a while and really knows knows people and is kind of a arbiter amongst the various factions more than anything. Also,
I've heard that a lot of years.
Also, the only Mortality faction playbook who gets the... advance of retire your character to safety option.
Also, the Veteran Matthew has a move that's called I'm too old for this S.
Yes, there is that.
That does sound like me.
There is the Wolf if you want to be a lycanthropic werewolf person guy with your own pack and territory.
Do you have to be a werewolf?
Yeah,
not necessarily, but...
Were-shark!
In Kansas?
In Hayes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a little difficult. I mean, I would say it basically has to be some sort of, like, pack predator.
Predatory pack animal?
Yeah.
Coyote.
Ooh.
Coyote.
It could be a were-harrier.
Were-bobcat.
Yeah.
A were-yote.
Were-pigeon.
And there's the vessel if you want to be some sort of golem creature built from clay or flesh or what you have.
Dude, you make me a golem and I'm going to go entirely literal.
I will volunteer to have created you.
Well.
There's a dead right there.
Yep, that is exactly what that would be.
Is that good? Is that what I want?
Well, for Sam, it's good because you are in her debt.
Yes.
Well, that's not good for me.
Well, you pretty much have to give a debt to
you. You have to have debt. Yeah, you have to have those debts. So,
well, that's what they told me in college, and now I'm 60 grand under the
Yeah, tell me about that one. Oh, actually, with the starting debts, oddly, I guess if Sam was going to volunteer to be the creator, she'd be the one that owed you a debt.
There you
How's
go.
That?
Someone has a tie to your creator or their lineage and possesses knowledge about your origin they have refused to share. They owe you a debt. Or someone has some dirt on Sam's character that...
Oh.
Could I be like Frankenstein-y?
You can.
Interesting.
You know, we do have a cemetery right here in the middle of town.
There is a cadaver lab at the university.
There is a cadaver lab at the university.
Okay. And here I was thinking of being a professor. Although I guess with a scholar, maybe not so much. But I was thinking a professor would be a good excuse for me to be new to town.
I mean, you can have multiple department. Professors at the university.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. There is more than one. It's not like Boy Meets World, where every class is with Feeny.
Even then, there was two, because there was also that other guy that disappeared after that one season.
After Sean's dad showed back up.
Yes.
Good old that guy, other guy.
Mr. Turner died in a motorcycle accident, and you can't tell me differently.
Well, if you watch Girl Meets World.
Isn't that actually canon?
No, it's not, because in Girl Meets World, he comes, never mind!
Anyway, so Matthew needs to pick a character. Doesn't necessarily have to do it now, but he does have to do it before we sit down again.
Well, we kind of have to do it now for establish debts and.
Oh, what? Didn't you pressure me?
You've had.
I'm on.
We can probably do that stuff before our first session, I guess.
We can come back to Matthew and talk about other people who have better ideas.
That seemed unnecessarily harsh.
Sorry. Came out a little mean.
So yeah.
I mean, what are you thinking, Matthew? Like what's in your head right now? What do you want to play?
I was thinking like a werehawk, but that probably isn't going to work.
You could be like a werewolf spider.
Terrifying.
Could I be a giant werewolf spider?
Jump at you from this hole so fast.
Carrying baby wolf spiders on my back. Because I'm a terrifying monster.
Gross.
I don't know, we've talked about that the shiftery thing. I'm just I'm not feeling wolf is my thing.
Chupacabra.
Oh, where chupacabra? That is quite a few hats.
You know, does the revenant get to have a familiar type thing?
It totally does.
There's that.
I could have
the call.
I don't want to do that because every time I have a dog, the dog dies.
This time it'll be a bird
two
and it
for
can
two.
Fly away.
Yeah, this time, since it's in Kansas, you can have a pheasant. You can be the pheasant.
Oh, boy.
Be the gothest pheasant ever.
Yeah, the ringneck.
That's fantastic.
So if I'm a revenant, am I like back from the dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I could be super gothy if I'd like.
Yeah, or you could go watch that Nick Cage movie where he like comes back from hell to avenge his murdered daughter and be that guy.
Yes. I don't want to do that. That's, you know. How does that compare to the ghosty thing? Because you said there was a ghosty thing.
Yeah, the specter says, vengeful, alienated, incorporeal, alone. The specter is the ghost of someone who died, their spirit trapped on this side of eternity. They are an echo of what they once were, knowing only restlessness and loneliness. Your high stat is blood, your low and spirit, your low stat is mind.
Yeah, the spirit is kind of a bit more lost in their purpose. I mean, they got something tying them to Earth, and therefore that's why they are a specter on the Earth.
But, maybe someone owes you a debt, and you got to collect it in order to go to the next life. You could be Michael, what's his name?
Myers?
No. I'm thinking more of Highway to the Heaven.
Jay Fox?
Landon.
Michael Landon, yes.
I don't want to be Little Joe.
Yeah, I would.
Revenant sounds like it might have some hook. Might have something that I can work with.
All right.
If I'm revenating, I can come back and be all vengeful thing from beyond.
So yes. Question then.
With a list of people who need to be stabbed.
Yes, you basically do have to come up with a list of people that need stabbed.
Ah, crap.
So I have a question then.
Yes, Steven.
In order for us to, well, maybe because
fictional
I'm not
people.
My character is maybe a little shifty.
Mm-hmm.
Do the players have to? Do all of the factions have to be filled by your players?
No.
Okay.
No.
But they are.
What does that mean?
So there has to be someone from the mortality, someone from night, someone from power, someone from wild.
There doesn't have to be, but
no, that's what I was asking.
The first four of us did fill
all
each
that.
Of those.
Yeah. But yes. For our listeners,
they don't have to be.
We didn't do that on purpose. We literally did that because we're kind of flabbing all over the place. Interesting. All right. So let's talk about this here Revenant.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a pheasant. No, I don't want to be a pheasant. Pheasant's terrible.
So yeah, basically the Revenant, you are a spirit of vengeance back from the dead. To read the actual flavor text here, they took everything from you, your life, your love, your future. They left you with nothing but the spirit that graced the other side, the demons that tend to the afterlife. They brought you a deserved second chance, an opportunity to take revenge on the monsters that did this to you. Don't squander it. And again, there's various options you can choose to take to if you need help fleshing out your look and demeanor and name. But I'll generally let you make those decisions.
Okay.
Stat-wise, you have a blood of 2, mm-hmm. a heart of 0, mm-hmm. a mind of -2, and a spirit of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to add 1 to one of those options. Do you know what you'd want to boost up there?
What are the negatives of having a mind of -2?
Well, you are just generally less mindful about things. You tend to leap first. And basically, if there's anything that requires more reflection, you're just not going to be quite as good about that.
Mind is also your perception attribute, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So if it comes to like spotting something or somebody sneaking up on you, that also comes from mind.
But I'm dead. I'll just stab them.
That's kind of the idea.
So if I have, you said it was a -0 heart and a -2 mind. Mm-hmm. Was it a -2 spirit?
One spirit.
-1 spirit.
No, just positive 1.
I thought I had 2 that were negative.
Nope. Mind is -2. Heart is 0. 2 blood, mm-hmm. 1 spirit.
So is my mind or my heart more important?
Do you plan on doing much socializing in a positive manner?
In the intrigue game?
Yes. I mean, that is going to be...
You're asking me if I'm going to make a character completely unsuited for the world that you're creating?
It's not unsuited. You are just going to be something of a...
A tool?
Yes, I guess.
Why would you say that? There are now people listening to the show going, well, at least he's used to it. Those people are mean and they should be ashamed of themselves. Carl. I think I would like to put 1 in the mind.
one into mind. All right.
Yeah. I don't want to be a turbo douche. I'm fine with being a douche, but a turbo douche is probably just a yard too far.
It's right out.
A little.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So in your factions, you have mortality of -2 as you've pretty much lost all your ties to...
I'm kind of dead.
Yes. Yeah, so add it to that, and then you'll only be mostly dead.
Yes.
And which is somewhat alive.
You get a knight of one, and a power of one, and a wild of one. So,
oh man. Yeah, you... you should, like, put it... Definitely figure out who wants you most as their, like, weapon, mm-hmm. and put it in there.
Hmm.
Let the bidding begin.
Yeah, exactly.
My husband brought back by the daemons.
Who needs an undead berserker?
Yo.
Me.
Me.
Well, sounds like it's a bidding war between knight and power here.
Let's talk perks.
I can get you fed regularly.
All right. I'll see you tonight. You make more sense for them anyways.
Am I dead to where I eat people?
I don't think so.
I think you're fueled by
anger and vengeance.
Fueled by rage.
Definitely
yeah.
angst.
Yeah, so the revenant moves are abashed, the devil stood. That's your... you're going to choose to. You got vigilante. Is that gasoline I smell?
My powers are crow quote.
You don't scare me and merciful.
That's incredible.
You guys! That is so on the nose. No.
Yeah, this game is super on the nose, dude.
It is. It is.
I mean, the references are too blunt for me. Come on.
The wizard is just Harry Dresden.
It is exactly Harry Dresden.
Like, I get, dude, I get one move, and it's called The Devil Inside.
Oh, so you're the lead singer of NXS. That's cool.
At least you could. Do you have anything called Sympathy for the Devil?
I don't.
Well, that's a shame.
But that's not so much it not being on the nose as they just missed one.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes.
So do I want knight? Was it knight or shadow?
Knight, power, and wild.
Knight, power, and wild. Where does wild go if I were wild?
Basically, you have a lot of dealings with fey and demon and demons. Devil types. And
that, well, fey are the wild, or are they knight? Oh, no, knight is the ghouls and the vampires and the werewolves. Bleh. Okay.
Yeah, right. Fey is wild.
Yeah, okay.
Please tell me Rob is going to make the bleh noise every time that the undead get brought up.
Bleh.
Say that I had to fight it for a whole season of Critical Hit myself. I'm just saying Rodrigo shot down. This is my original Sekara accent. So
dear God.
That would have been a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
And imagine how obvious this is. And I'm looking at this game and going, holy crap, how obvious is that? So...
Yes.
I'm thinking maybe knight. Knight sounds like it's got a ring to it.
Okay. So, yeah.
Well, that would make sense if you have a debt to Rob, where Rob owes you a debt.
What if I hate Rob?
That's fine.
You can your faction, that's influence that you have with these factions. So, whether you like or hate Rob, that's leverage either way. So, that's not a bad thing.
It's good to know. Rob and I have never been friends in character, I think.
What?
Oh.
Now he's heartbroken. Oh, that's adorable.
So, skipping ahead, as a revenant, you have a daemon, which is being
Matt,
that...
Just Matt Damon.
Yes.
A little spirit animal.
Matt Damon.
Yes. Being that guided you back from the land of the dead and walks with you, now among the living, the two of you are inseparable and you are constantly aware of its presence. You can choose basically what kind of animal it is and what kind of supernatural, or basically what kind of voice it has. The suggestions they have is a dog, a snake, an owl, a vulture, a bat, a crow, a wolf, a cat, a raven, a rat, and spectral voice, a dark voice, a patient voice, a maternal voice, and a demanding voice.
Here's the question.
Uh-huh. Maternal vulture! Maternal vulture!
Who is actually going to be talking as the companion?
It would be me.
All right, Matthew, keep that in mind. I still think Pheasant's actually a good idea because the Ringneck sounds like an awesome, like, vengeful name.
The Ringneck.
But I kind of want to be a vulture so I can hear Brian.
So what you want to do today?
Oh, that's not good.
It's not a vulture, that's a buzzard.
You got the trigger on, old Betsy.
Hey, okay, you're in Kansas. I grew up in Kansas, and the thing that we feared more than anything in Kansas was the mythical, probably non-existent catamount. The wildcat. That was, it's just like a wild cat that would be a cat and also wild. And no one ever saw one, and we don't know that it existed, but every once in a while there'd be a dead animal and people would be like, yep.
Ooh.
There's a mountain lion up there.
Your daemon can be a jayhawk.
I was going to say, you run into them all the time driving back from Manhattan.
Yes, you do.
Ooh. You run into Jayhawks?
They're always screaming rock chalk on those big and holding up giant signs.
You know how I said we've been talking about on the nose.
You're going to go with a crow?
Think about a mountain lion, like a cat. There's a big cat. It is a mountain cat, but there's no mountains. But people still call it a mountain lion because it's Kansas, and yeah, we're basically dullards.
There are cougars that are often caught in western Kansas.
We cannot use the word cougar.
But you're also close to the mountains.
Might be too big for a daemon.
It sounds like they're all pretty small or not scary in the conventional sense of, like, we'll rip you up in combat.
Bobcats are not that big.
I'd let them go with a wildcat.
Bobcat's got a great name.
Bobcat?
Hey, yeah. Bob. You know, it has to be black.
Yes.
It has to be a black bobcat. And what were my voice options? Which one is going to be most entertaining from you?
Well, there's
maternal.
The maternal.
Yeah, I guess so. Spectral voice, a dark voice, a patient voice, a maternal voice, or a demanding voice.
I like
the
idea.
Spectral voice needs a filter from Steven. It'll cause more editing.
Yeah, I remember when we did that for the first episode and then never happened ever again.
Yeah, ever. No, I'm a bobcat.
I'll have Steven's going to hand Brian like a comb with like some paper over it.
Like a megaphone. Hello, I am your bobcat. Please move away from the car.
Or even better, just put a muzzle on it and then Brian can just be...
Welcome to Blimpos.
Oh my God, you killed Kenny. Now, that's South Park reference.
Yes, really.
Go look that up.
We caught that.
I wasn't talking to you.
It's not like it's been on for 25 years.
Wow.
I was talking to the people who are listening at home who are young and who may be like, what was that a reference to?
So you're pointing out the joke.
Yeah, I am pointing out the joke, Robert.
It's a rookie mistake, Matthew.
After 10 years, you finally noticed that this is, in fact, part of my shtick. If you tell me don't point out the joke, I will point out the joke. And it will be even funnier after I do. So I'm thinking maternal, actually, not just from the perspective of, you know, entertaining role play from Brian, but I think it also kind of, you know, it has a thing. Do you remember in the original comics, the crow said, don't look. So the bobcat can say something like, you know, I don't know. You know, I think it's a maternal voice with a southern accent, Brian.
I think Brian can do a southern accent.
I'll
have to work on that.
He'll workshop it.
So, mechanically, what your demon does is when it stands with you in battle, you get +1 armor, but it would only follow you in the pursuit of your call or to fulfill a debt.
So I have to call it.
Well, your call is the injustice.
Avenging.
Yes, is your list of vengeance you're seeking, basically. The injustice of your demise has pulled you back to this world, allowing you to seek revenge on those who have done you wrong. List their names and how they have wronged you.
Oh, my God. So you're like Arya Stark the Crow.
Yeah, oh, my much. God. I just figured out how I died.
There's a max list
of pushed out of a window.
Into that central depth portal in the middle of Weast Hall. And then they when they tore the building down, my corpse was able to rise.
There's going to be so many jokes I'm just going to totally miss this season.
Yeah.
Weast Hall is a dormitory that was basically a prison building.
Oh, cool.
It was like six stories.
Seven?
Yeah. Well, it's on Stevens.
Well, with a seven with a mezzanine.
It was like a square shape with like...
There was the central shaft. Yeah, there's a central shaft.
So like a courtyard, kind of.
Except there were actually rumors that, you know, well, there were clearly things thrown down there, but people are like, there's a skeleton down there from a kid who fell down and died.
Yeah, you should probably think upon this list and get that to me sometime, like probably within the next week or so.
It's the people who need to build.
Yes. Max 3. Each of these people is marked by your call, the force that brought you back from the lands of the dead. While they live unpunished, you cannot die. You embody their fate, bloody doom called back to offer judgment for their crimes. When you punish one of them absolutely, however you see fit, strike their name from the list. Your daemon will tell you if the punishment is fitting. If it is, advance. If it isn't, you owe your daemon a debt.
Uh-oh.
So...
It's like they didn't die badly enough.
Yes.
They didn't necessarily have to die.
Oh, sure. They didn't, I don't know. Their punishment wasn't like, sufficient. What's it called? What's Count of Monte Cristo-esque enough?
It wasn't thematically appropriate. It wasn't Alanis Morissette ironic enough.
Was it a Cask of Amontillado?
There we go.
Yeah.
For the love of God, Montresor. Yeah, okay.
However, you can add people to your call.
what was Rob's name again?
Well, that's a good question. When you ask your daemon to add someone who has wronged you to your call, roll spirit. On a hit, your daemon acquiesces to your request, which if you roll 7 or better, that's a hit. On a 10 or better, your daemon reveals how you might attack their vulnerabilities or weakness.
Ah, crap.
On a miss, that person is beyond your reach. You take -1 ongoing against them until you offer them forgiveness for the wrongs they have done to you. So, basically, if you try to add someone to the list and fail, then anytime you roll upon them or dealing with them, you're taking -1 to that roll.
Well, that's hurtful.
Yes. When you cross out all the names on your call, your connection to the land of the dead is severed. Your daemons return to the spirit realm. You are no longer able to avoid the land of the dead if you are killed. You can lay your own soul to rest by returning to your physical form to its final resting place.
This sounds creepy.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, I got it. That sounds good. I'll get you a list. I'll workshop it. I'll get back with you.
And you also will have two revenant moves that you can choose from. I think I'll let you read through and choose those on your own for the sake of brevity here.
You sent the revenant book, so I can go through that, right?
It's in the playlist.
It's in the Dark Streets playbook.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And so for the most part, you probably want to come up with a name for your guy and anyone else that hasn't come up with a name for their characters.
Klaus. Yeah.
Okay.
He was one of the ones in the list, and I figured it was German enough for this area.
I suppose
Klaus Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Klaus Pfannensteel.
Klaus Schmidt.
Klaus Schmidtberger.
Snodgrass.
Klaus Schlingenshapen.
Yes. So do we want to do established debts at this time, or should we wait till Matthew has things more fleshed out?
Might be better to wait. So If this is an intrigue game, should we like come up with, you know, I don't know, megalomaniacal character goals?
You can.
One of my questions, or one of the questions Brian sent me, has one of those things in it.
Yes. I mean, basically, I know Steven and Rodrigo both basically have
some, not necessarily end goals, but a high lofty goal.
And from what Rob's told me of his character concept, there's also... So, I mean, if you don't necessarily want one for your character, that would probably be fine, because it sounds like there's enough chicanery going on here.
No.
Chicanery.
I'm not going to be the one who doesn't have a maniacal plot.
That will also work. Out.
I would say Matthew's character is kind of built with a...
Is it really a megalomaniacal? Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a lot more. His is going to be the lot
his
more
is
straightforward.
A murder list.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like Arya Stark / first season Arrow.
Pretty much.
Then my name shall be Oliver Arya.
I mean, and with the way that this game works, he could totally, like, you know, finish his list and decide just to kick around further in the game by taking the Spectre playbook afterwards. Mm-hmm. Assuming it gets enough advances.
Yeah.
See, the problem is if I play the Spectre, I'm going to want to wear, you know,
glasses
pants and a cape.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be terrible.
If this was like, what this really should be is that like Matthew's character is like some sibling / loved one of mine who's the only case I can't solve.
Well,
ooh,
possibly.
That's got a ring to it. Put a pin in that. I like that. Because then you can mourn me, and then there's debits.
Yes.
Yeah. I can mourn you and wish that you would stop murdering people, because, you know, if you stop murdering people, maybe I could figure out who actually wronged you.
The people he murdered. Duh.
You just don't understand.
So, yeah, I think that kind of gives a good overview of this game. Do you got any additional questions there, Steven?
So we're setting it in Hayes.
Yes.
It's a weird, spooky town in western Kansas. And then you're going to add some weird, spooky things into this game. We kind of know who our characters are and their backstories for some of us, and some of the debts are already starting to coalesce. I guess as we play the game, we'll talk about moves and attacks and basic moves and advanced moves and all of that kind of stuff as they come out. The playbook is pretty self-explanatory for each one.
Yeah. Honestly, if you have that basic moves and your playbook, that's pretty much all the rules you really need that in this game.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
It is. It is very straightforward. It's very light mechanically. It is, just very driven by the narrative.
And there's no other part of the story or anything you want to set up at this time? You'll wait until first actual gameplay episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
We will start there.
All right. Well, then I think that is where we will end this week's episode of Critical Hit. Urban Shadows is starting to make a lot more sense now that we're all talking about it. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun for however many episodes we have of this game.
63.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Thank you so much. Podcast at majorspoilers.com if you have any questions. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are plus sevens and higher.
Yeah, yes. 10. A 10.
Or a 10. 10 is really best.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.